Welcome to the Four Quarters Podcast. So you're not just watching from the sidelines, get in the game. Like the videos, comment your takes, share with your squad.
More importantly, subscribe to the Four Quarters Podcast on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TikTok, Instagram, and X for all the latest basketball and sports news.
We are back for another episode of the Four Quarters Pod with B-Red. And
Drew Maggs, baby.
Andrew Magana.
What's up, man?
Guy.
What's up?
We're here, Tuesday night. Well, we're a day removed from a Laker beatdown.
Yeah.
After seven straight.
Yeah.
To the Suns. D-Book left early. Devin Booker. And we still couldn't manage to find footing back in that game. Any concerns? Any?
No.
Or you just take the seven straight in your back pocket?
Yeah, take the seven straight. Also, I mean, the Suns are good, man. Like, they're a really good defensive team, too. Like, they're a team that's going to get you to turn the ball over. And especially coming off of, a back-to-back for the Lakers.
Yep, it was a back-to-back.
Yeah, back-to-back. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not too concerned. They, you know, you can't show up against the Suns and play lackadaisical. You can't turn the ball over because that's what they want you to do. They want to run fast. They want to play fast. And, they took advantage of the Lakers coming out lackluster, turning the ball over too much. And then, you know, then you have that villain story with Dylan Brooks. He showed up, showed out, as you will always try to do against the Lakers.
It seems like he circles that Laker game every year.
Yeah, and for the most part, you know, Bron will calm him down, and he's not doing too much. He's just, you know, he's over there just talking, man. He's not really doing nothing. He's just talking. But, he showed out. What did he have? He dropped, was it over 30?
Yeah, 30. Yeah, 25 in the first half.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, the Dylan Brooks game.
Yeah, the Dylan Brooks game and the Colin Gillespie game.
Yeah.
The Colin.
Right, yeah, Colin Gillespie, Villanova guy.
Yeah.
Eddie.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, overall, not worried, man.
Yeah.
If you know, you win seven in a row, you're due to drop one. You know, it's like
82 game season. Luka talked about it too. He kind of felt like they goaded him into playing iso ball too much, one on one. I think you saw like Austin Reeves had very low usage. Rui voiced his opinions. Like, he didn't get a lot of shots. Maybe one or two shots. He had like 1 or 2 points. Aiden. Yeah. So they kind of, they don't switch as much. Definitely. They kind of just let him play one-on-one. And when you get a great scorer, like a Luka, Kobe, they take that one-on-one as like a mental challenge. Like, oh, you don't think I could score on this guy? You know?
You're not going to send a double?
And it's like, you're playing. Huh?
You're not going to send a double my way, you sure?
Yeah, you're not going to send a double. They want to take advantage of that. And Luka played right into it. He admitted it. He had 9 turnovers.
Yeah.
Didn't assist it like he wanted to. Mm-hmm. I think it's a drop in the bucket. To your point, though, I do think the Suns are sneaky good.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to see Jalen Green with this team healthy a little more, because I did like that backcourt, mm-hmm. Jalen Green and D-Book. To your point, they're a young, athletic team. If you look at the Lakers, I think we have 5 losses now. Suns, Hawks.
We got OKC in there.
OKC. Piggybacking off the former Athletics, Jovan Buha.
Mm.
He noticed a parallel, like, young athletic teams kind of giving us some trouble early. You know, we got Bron and 2 white guys as our nucleus. You know, a 40-year-old man and 2 guys that you wouldn't necessarily put in the top of the world for lateral quickness. So, so that's kind of been our thing in this early season. Which, as we round up to Christmas, right? It's the famous moniker in the NBA. Once you start to get around Christmas, you can see the good, bad, and ugly of teams, like what they are.
Yeah.
And I think, we kind of see that. The good, we got 2 juggernauts offensively.
Yeah.
3, really, with Bron's healthy and right. Not a lot of teams can match that. The bad, I'll probably say our bench scoring outside those 3. Like, if we're not getting monster AR Luka games, it could be a little hazy.
Yeah. 100%.
And the ugly is that, is what we see, is like, just can get ran out sometimes by some teams. So,
yeah.
But yeah, dropping the bucket, small sample size up to this point, but I think we do have a clearer picture of what we are. And, we're a good team.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're
fine. Yeah. Definitely not. Yeah, coming off of back-to-back and the way that the Suns play, Lakers aren't just built for that right now. But it's, again, not too concerned about it. Not too concerned
To that point, though, like, when we talk about the Lakers, some of the ailments or deficiencies that they do have, I would like to see JJ, like, just insert a Vando in there. Mm-hmm. Insert a Duthiero, yeah. Bronny even. Like, just get some of your spry young bodies out there when you have those matchups. I mean, just try it. I mean, it can't hurt to give a 3-minute shift, Vando a 4 or 5 minute shift, just to, hey, you go run around and scrap with Dylan Brooks,
Especially early on, like,
exactly.
Like the risk, I guess, of like loot, like the, what am I trying to say?
What's
the
word? Risk reward.
Yeah, the risk reward for like throwing in a Bronny or a Vando and end up losing this game in over an 82 game series is so minuscule.
The game was slipping balance anyway.
100%. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So to your point, throw them in there. Trial by fire a little bit. See what kind of dog they have.
Telling me Vando can't share the floor with Colin Gillespie?
Yeah, come on.
You know what I mean? So that's going to be the next maturation of JJ as a coach for me is the rotations. I think his top line rotations are good. He's kind of figured that out. Mm-hmm. But knowing when to shift to throw like an Adu or a Vando out there.
Yeah.
Like he's been hesitant to do that ever since the going back to the Minnesota series where he played fucking five guys for the whole game. And some coaches get, like Phil Jackson was like that, right? He'll die with his 6-7 guys, right? Tibbs, right? But I think now, especially now, when you're looking at the OKCs, the Knicks, the Denvers, they'll use an assortment of lineups on you. Yeah. You know,
not 100%.
Can't be afraid to do that, especially early, like you said. So not too concerning.
Who do we got coming up? Let's see who the bounce back game is going to be.
I think we got the Wembley-less Spurs tomorrow.
So it looks like December 4th. December 4th. Is it a cup game?
I think it's a cup. It's a qualifier.
Seeing Toronto.
Toronto, our next one?
Yeah.
I think you're right. Because they asked Luca about it, and he said, I don't watch the NBA.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, Toronto's good this year? He said, I don't watch the NBA. Like, which is interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. A little weird. But it's kind of like a slight at those NBA guys, maybe, to him. He's like, I carve y'all up for 40 every night. Like, I'm up at 5 a.m. watching Eurobasket.
It's a little Jokic.
Yeah,
I just like my horses.
Yeah. Right.
We got a little.
He's like, you want me to leave work and watch work?
Yeah, right. Like, I'm trying to go home and watch Stranger Things, man.
Yeah, new season what's going
just on? Dropped. Come on, yeah, watching Bel Air. Right. New season just dropped. We got a three game road streak. I mean, a road trip coming up. We got Toronto. They're at Toronto. Then we're right after that at Boston on a back to back. That's gonna be a tough back-to-back night playing Boston.
That's a three-game trip, yeah.
Yeah, and then end it with Philly before we come back and play the Spurs for the Emirates Cup.
Yeah, that's a good stretch.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, again, like we just talked about, that young, long, athletic teams, not a juggernauts, but not – not easy by any stretch. Like, they're gonna come out and play hard.
Right.
Celtics Lakers always has a little gravitas to it. Mm-hmm. So
Boston just
that'll beat be a good test.
A really good Knicks team tonight.
Oh wow!
They got the Peacock coast to coast specials tonight. I kind of like that. I like how they're doing that. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But they beat a good Knicks team tonight. That's gonna be a tough game. Obviously, Toronto's gonna be a tough game, and then Philly with those two. With those young bulls at point guard.
Yeah, VJ and Tyrese, that's
gonna be tough.
I don't know. Got a pair of track shoes on.
Yeah. We got OKC and the Warriors are playing right now. looking like they're gonna get another dub. But I mean, it's only halftime. But but yeah, I don't know. I think. See, the next time we record, they'll would have played those three games. How do you think we're gonna do?
In that three game stretch,
yeah.
Or
by the time we record next week, they would have played those
three. I'll go our next road trip three games. I'm feeling a 2-1.
Yeah,
I'm feeling a 2-1. I could see. I low key think that Philly game is gonna be tricky.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
That Philly game,
we might drop.
Yeah, that Philly. Yeah, that Philly game is going to be tricky just because, like, backcourt for backcourt, obviously we have the better backcourt, I would say, headed by Luka. Yeah. But just on the other side of the ball, I mean, VJ and Tyrese, I mean, they give hell, man.
Yeah.
I mean, Tyrese is a walking 50 any given night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think that Toronto game is going to be our like, JJ's cutting into the guys and – making sure they're up for this Toronto game. Like, it's going to be our bounce back game. We can get a win there. Boston, I'm just always going to take the Lakers against Boston. if the Lakers aren't up for that game, then there's something wrong with this team. But yeah, I think we take Boston, and then, yeah, that Philly game is going to be tough. It's going to be a tough one. But, yeah, I think we have best backcourt in the league, though, with AR and Luka.
Yeah, pretty comfortably, I'd say. But, and like I said, when Bron is – active and healthy, I mean, I can't think of another three-headed dragon in the league. Everybody's kind of gotten away from the big three builds.
Yeah.
And for the Lakers to kind of maneuver one, you got Austin on a discount, so you're able to have one. Helps a lot, for sure.
100%.
Probably throw OKC in there, too, with Chet, J-Dub, and Shea.
Yeah.
That's a good big three. But, yeah, not a lot of teams have them. So if you have one that's clicking in and can work together, gives you a huge offensive advantage.
Yeah.
Wow. Speaking of OKC,
mm-hmm.
we had Jalen Williams, J-Dub,
yep.
return, and they just rolled again. They just, you know, it didn't stump him at all. He really kind of came back and looked like he wanted to add to the defensive profile of the team, like help Shea out there on the perimeter, get up in guys. Be long. So it just adds, it's a scary dimension added to that team.
I was just about to say the same thing. Like, it's just, they're a scary team, bro. Like, what, we're a quarter of the way through the season? We're 25% of the way. They're 20, what, they're sitting at 20-1? Yeah.
Yeah.
20-1 or 25%.
Probably 21-1 after the Warriors.
Yeah, after this Warriors game. But, I mean, they're on track to only lose four games this year. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's gonna come where they might lose. I mean, I don't know, actually. Like, I'm saying that just to say that, low-key. But, like, I don't know.
You're betting against the odds of it being, like, this spectacular thing. But, there's no – like I said, we talked about it. There's no gimmick with how they're doing it.
Mm-mm.
They're just doing it with just grind you out hard-nosed basketball.
Yep.
They're not hunting threes. Mm-mm. They're not, like, hunting fouls. Or, like, they don't – you know what I mean? There's not, like, this little, like, thing that they do. They just get up in you defensively.
Yeah.
They can switch. They could trap. And they take really smart shots. They work good shots for great shots. Like, a lot of their shots are open, you know, because Shea's drawing or J-Dub's drawing attention, Chet even.
Yeah.
Hartenstein rebounds offensively and defensively. Just coming to you in waves.
Yeah.
With units that play similarly. They're able, no matter who's on the floor, even now with A.J. Mitchell scoring.
Yeah.
You know, like... Okay, so Shea's sitting. AJ, he's nowhere near Shea, but he can navigate pick and rolls and shoot and score and, like,
yeah.
So they don't really miss a beat no matter what lineup they have.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at some of their stats right now. They're number 4 in the league in offensive rating, which is insane at, like, you know, you're hearing the stories about, you know, it's Shea not playing in the fourth.
Right.
Which might bring it down a little bit, right? So, like, if Shea's playing the whole game, maybe they're number one in the league.
Yeah,
defensive rating, they are number one. They are number one right now. Wow.
And they look like the best defensive team in the league. Like, they look like it. Sometimes those stats are misleading. You look at a team and like, oh, really? They're doing that? But, like, no, when you watch them, you're like, okay, no, that's an elite defensive team.
Yeah, they pass the eye test with, like, flying colors on the defensive side and offense, like, every facet of the game. And then it's crazy. I'm looking at the over-under preseason odds. 62.5 wins. They're going to smash that.
They're on pace. Yeah, they're a third of the way there.
Yeah, 100%. They're scary, man. What do you? I know we kind of talked about it on another episode, but like, where do you think now that we're a quarter of the way through the season, where they're going to end up as far as record record wise?
I still like my line at 69.5-70.
Okay.
I still like that line just because, like I said, I mean, I'll bet against history.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, just saying, like, we're not going to see, you know, whatever, a 79-win team. Like, you know, I don't think we'll see that 75-win. Like,
yeah.
I'll just bet against that because we've had some great teams in the history of the NBA. So, yeah, I'd say, like, yeah, they'll be in that high 60s to 70. Like,
yeah.
What about you? You think they're gonna get the record?
I think they will. I mean, I don't see why not, bro. They're just blowing everyone out.
Yeah.
Sorry, not blowing everyone out, but they're just like they're making their wins look so easy. I should say.
It's how they're doing it. It's not necessarily what they're doing, it's how they're doing it too. That's like
just super impressive. Yeah, I think they get there. I think they get
there. Where's their one loss?
That's a good question.
Because people need to pull that tape.
I feel like, yeah, for real.
That team, it was like a fluky, like a team, too. Like,
I'm on their schedule right now. It was Portland.
Yeah.
Yeah, by two. Portland by two.
I know Phoenix played them pretty good for like a 2 or 3 point win last week.
Yeah.
But again, similar, like on the contrary of the Lakers. You got to be able to match them a little bit, like, with spryness and athleticism and just juice on the perimeter. Because they're switching. They're trapping sometimes. Sometimes they're just getting up in you full court. Like, they can do it a lot of ways defensively.
Yeah.
For sure.
Super impressive. Just super impressive to watch. Fun to watch, honestly.
No, they are. They are fun to watch. They're playing. I mean, they play basketball, right? It sounds simple.
They're just out there playing hoop.
Yeah, they just hooping. They're getting stops and making runs, right? They very much kind of play like a college. They remind me of a college team.
Yeah,
like, and you hear that a lot with OKC at their home field. Like, this is a college atmosphere.
Yeah.
They're so psyched to have pro ball there, but they play like that too. They play like a classic UConn team you think of, or like a Butler team. Yeah. They play like that.
Yeah,
like
100%.
You know, just dive on the floor, get stops, just make runs. Like, hey, no, we run out for layups. We get a stop, and then we run out for a layup. Like,
yeah.
And we do that 2-3 times. Now we done made a 6-8-0 run. Yeah. Like,
it's crazy.
Do you go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you think the city – I saw this online somewhere. I can't remember who
brought – Was it Bill Simmons? Talking about their home court advantage?
Yes. Yeah, it was Bill Simmons. Yeah. Who was he talking to? Yeah. Bill and
I don't remember who he was talking to.
But
maybe like Zach Lowe.
It might have been, but they were saying how it's such a sleepy city that like guys they're not excited to be there. Like, you know, guys are excited to be in LA or in Miami or in New York or Chicago, but the mentality of going in Oklahoma City is like, all right, there's not much to do here. But then again, on the flip side, where it's almost the same kind of argument about the bubble in a way where, you're going to a place where it's going to be pure hoop. Like, all you got to think about is hoop.
Yeah.
And if you – I don't know. It's kind of a weird dilemma. It's like, you think there's some truth to it?
I think there's truth to it for sure. Especially the way Bill described it. Like, say if you're on a Rodeo West trip and you got OKC Wednesday, I got Lakers Friday.
Yeah.
You're kind of looking to that Laker Friday game. You know what I mean? Like, and you're just like, oh, like, we're stopping in OKC.
Yeah, it's a bit of a trap game.
Yeah, it's a trap game against a good team, which is weird.
You can't, you can't.
Yeah, like, you're sleep. Like you said, you're sleepy. It's like, but damn, that's Shea.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to give me 35 tonight.
Yeah.
On the flip side, they've built a home team, the Thunder, that really enjoy that city and, like, enjoy each other and being at home with each other and, like, hanging out and going to movies and making TikToks or whatever, it's weird. Cause like, even if you go to like the Russell Westbrook KD days, like, I don't think those guys are like,
hanging out.
Like, Mike Crib in Stillman, Oklahoma, you know, like, I love it here, you know, like, but these guys give you a vibe of like, no, they're like happy to be a Thunder. Like, you know, they're almost like little, like, mini rock stars out there probably.
Yeah.
You know?
100%. Yeah, I mean, right there. To the point of it being kind of like a college town, like, yeah, we saw how it was at Arizona. Like, those dudes ran the city. Like, it, not much to do in Tucson other than, you know, go watch some basketball. Yeah. And now that the team is rocking, oh, yeah, of course. They're probably loving every bit of it, getting every kind of benefit around the city. So they'll definitely show out, play a little harder for their fans. Which, you know, on the flip end, the opponents that come in, they're not coming in energized like that. You know what I'm saying? It works in their favor, being a little small market over there.
You hear sometimes even when, like, the Blue Jays or the Raptors, like, having to go through customs to play a Toronto team.
Yeah.
Like, you're kind of like, oh, man, here's this thing. Like, I'm already here. They like, speaking French. Like,
Got my passport out. What's going on?
Yeah, it's like, oh, shit.
My passport expired? Oh, man.
But we're gonna touch on later. We'll touch on some more shit with OKC working to get crazy, which is I can't even fathom. But we'll touch on some more. But that's quarter one. We're gonna go on to quarter two. Dessert. Second quarter here at the Four Quarters Podcast. What's going on? What's going on? So let's talk a little Cooper Flagg. We haven't given him a ton of attention, but he's starting to find his way in the league a little bit. I think his numbers are up. He's like a 16. He was like a 13-4-4. Now he's like 16-5-5, starting to score a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
That little like push off midi, I see it starting to circulate a little bit. Like,
yeah, he's putting together some good games.
Career high 35 against the Clippers.
The Clippers are in shambles. If there's a team that you want to have your career night against this year, it's in LA. It could be the Lakers. Shit, with the way Dylan Brooks they're getting hot in LA in general. But the Clippers are definitely one to do it against. So not surprised there. Come back to back good games. He had 24 against Denver. That's a good, you know, good. Yeah. Great Denver team in a win.
They beat Denver. Yeah, wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, he's balling. Shot 50% from the field, 33 from three, 75 from the free throw.
I think he's starting to understand. He's got to score more for this team.
Yeah,
he has to score more. He can't be passive. Even if he's missing like those little turnaround, little bump off middies, like you got to take them.
Yeah.
Because teams are if you're gonna allow teams to play you to not take those, like, then it's just another wheel of that offense that's not churning, and you need that. AD's missed time, Kyrie's out, obviously.
Yeah.
Fucking D'Lo's getting DNPs, like,
it's insane.
Yeah, yeah. For a team that needs point guard play, that's very damning for D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah, it's like, what's next? You know?
What's
next? Because he's definitely not finding it over there in Dallas.
He's not a J. Kidd guy.
Yeah. He's
not a J. Kidd type of point guard, I think. Like, J. Kidd, if you're not playing with your hair on fire, J. Kidd looking at you like, oh, man.
What the fuck?
I would have took your lunch money in 2002.
Yeah.
You know.
100%. I don't know. It's going to be – he's going to have to step up because, I mean, who knows? You're seeing all the speculation on Twitter about AD. Like, first it was – Mark Cuban saying, no, we're not going to trade him.
Yeah, that was
all these reports all around saying that. Yeah.
Mark Cuban's back now? Like, he's, and what's his role? What's his role? Like, you just, like,
I don't know. Like, is he just,
and why didn't you step in when Luka got traded? Like, it's just weird.
He wanted nothing to do with that one.
Yeah.
He wanted nothing to do with that one. But now that all these reports are coming out about, you know, this team having interest in AD and that team having interest in AD.
Yeah,
Mark Cuban was like, no, we have no interest in trade. Like, we, all of a sudden, we?
Right, yeah, yeah, he's back.
Yeah, I guess he's back. Wait, in the
what's the record?
The record right now is 7-15.
And, yeah, in the West, 12th, I mean, you lose.
12th
you
in
lose,
the West.
Yeah, you lose ground early in the West. It can be hard, man. Like, so I don't know what path he's looking at as far as, like, them winning. Because they've lost a lot of ground. We've seen the Lakers battle back the last couple of years from like 500 or like a little below 500, but it's hard. Like,
it's tough.
You're playing. I mean, they'll essentially be playing playoff basketball in about a month. Every game will be like, okay,
we gotta win. We gotta inch our way back to 500 just to have a chance to be making the play-in tournament.
Yeah,
and then you know, play-in tournament could go whatever way it goes, but the only thing that's promising for them is that they've been solid defensively. They're fourth in the NBA on defensive rating.
Wow.
But the offense is horrible. They're dead last in offensive rating in the league.
They tried him at point. They tried Flag at point guard a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe they felt like they couldn't be as good defensively if D'Lo was playing. Maybe that's why he's not playing. But they could use his shooting though. That's just interesting that he's not playing.
Yeah, I mean, like
the shooting. Yeah.
Yeah, I love D'Lo when he was on the Lakers.
Yeah,
I like D'Lo game. He could be instant offense, but he could also shoot you out of a game. But I don't know. You got to take the good with the bad when it comes to D'Lo.
Yeah.
They're points per game. They're 28th in the league, so they're not scoring a lot.
Klay's been picking it back up. I was starting to see his name chatter on the trade lines a little bit, with the Lakers trade for him or something. He's an interesting. Like player, at this stage of his career, not defensively, not where he was, but I just always was a huge Klay fan. Like, I mean, you talk about catching fire. If Steph is the greatest shooter ever, Klay's right somewhere after that.
Mm-hmm.
He's interesting. Yeah, this team didn't expect AD and Kyrie to miss.
Yeah, this many games.
Yeah, so it's like guys gotta shoot more. Like guys gotta,
100%. With like AD's injury history, you probably should have expected at least him, but
And Kyrie was out.
Dude, Klay, it's funny. Like what's up with all these guys going at Klay all of a sudden?
You know, hey, I got a theory about that.
Okay. Let's put the tinfoil hats on.
You know, he dating a superstar right now. Like he
got Meg. A lot of dudes are in her DMs.
Yeah, so it's kind of like what did Kanye say? Like, if you leave Mickey, you're gonna end up with a goofy. Like, guys be feeling like that. I'm gonna test you. Like, I'm gonna put you on the news in front of your girl. Like,
trying to embarrass. That's
my theory. That's why I think guys.
I don't think that's a bad theory.
Other than that, Klay is an outstanding league guy. Does it the right way, clean. Mm-hmm. Don't talk. So
never.
I think it's that. Like you said, I think guys kind of was like, "Damn, like why is she?" I'm John Morant. I'm the guy on my team.
Yeah. Ja was one of those guys that was literally he was running his jaw at him.
Right.
And I think that route could definitely be it. Another one I was thinking of was. Doesn't have the enforcer like Draymond anymore on his team.
Yeah,
like who would be on that squad? I don't know. I don't even know.
Maybe like Najee Marshall, PJ Washington.
Yeah,
those two guys. But PJ's been out too.
Yeah,
with him, and he's a big part. He's a big part of what they do. Because he gives you like some perimeter prowess, like as far as scoring load and shooting. Mm-hmm. Stretch like a versatile forward. But they don't have the cachet even combined. They don't have the cachet of a Draymond,
Draymond's crazy. Like he'll freaking take your legs out the next play.
Oh, messing with a shooter? You messing with one of his shooters? Yeah.
Nah, like, come on, man. That's one of his 10 assists for
right.
Now you're messing with his stats.
Right. You're right. That's a good point though. It's a combination of all of that. Probably just guys trying to try you. Yeah.
Jealousy. They think they could try you because you don't got an enforcer on your squad anymore. They're trying to embarrass you because you got one of them ones on your side. Yeah.
Got that stallion.
Yeah, the stallion.
She cooking tacos and spaghetti and shit.
Brought her up from Houston.
Up to Dallas. Good.
But yeah, with this roster though, like, do you think going back to like the 80 rumors, you think they're gonna move him or anything like that or? To stay put with him.
My gut says he's getting moved.
Yeah. And I wouldn't hate a Pelicans, reunion.
Ooh, interesting.
Because they got some guys, they're obviously struggling. They need to do something.
Yeah. Yeah, I did. My mind didn't go to them, but that is interesting. It's always cool too when, like, from a career perspective, you can kind of patch something up.
Yeah,
over there, like it ended kind of murky.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if he can for a career, like, go back and like patch it back up, like, hey, I'm gonna retire here, you know, type of thing. That could be cool. I think of Chicago.
Yeah, home.
They're well, a lot closer than the Pelicans as far as like contention and like playoff picture.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been clamoring for this move to me.
Yeah,
for a while. Chicago. Oh,
yeah. Even before you came to LA.
Yeah. They've been clamoring.
The rumors were LA and Chicago.
Yeah, but just in general, just a guy. Like, they've been clamoring, like, they tried it with, try to bring up Jimmy, try to bring in DeMar DeRozan. Like, they've been clamoring for that next piece to kind of, like, anchor their playoff hopes. Him and Giddy's an interesting pick-and-roll duo. It fits. You know, him next to Vucevic. Hey, you want a five? Vucevic's not a bad five to play next to.
Yeah.
You know, don't know what they would give up. Probably some of those younger wings. Maybe like they have a Jalen Smith. He's a young center. Dalen Terry, Arizona guy that can give up. But I like that fit. I like that homecoming. Same arc with a Pelicans again. Like a nice career, bow tied on your career going home. Yeah. You know,
100%.
Yeah.
I was worried when they were playing the Lakers in the tournament. In the it was the NBA Cup game, right? That's when they last played.
Yeah,
with the
regular floor.
Yeah, Luca said, "Let's get that floor out of here. It's kind of ass. Yeah. Everyone's slipping around everywhere." Right. But you know, AD, he just, like, when he was on the Lakers, anytime we played the Pelicans, he was good for 30 and 30 and, you know, 15.
Right.
So I thought he was gonna have one of those monster games, but held him down pretty good. He only had 12 points.
Held him down pretty good. I also think that in those games, I think Bron would always make a point to get him going in those games.
Yeah.
And
yeah, true.
AD, I love AD. I love AD's game. He's not a 1A to me.
Mm-mm.
He's not a 1A. He's not like a fire starter. Like, even if you go back to what he did in Kentucky, and this is what makes him so, like, enamoring as a player. It's like, he can dominate a game with 8 shots. But he had 12 rebounds and 6 blocks. Like, that was at Kentucky. He wasn't scoring at Kentucky. He wasn't shooting and doing post moves and stuff. It was just, you know, he was getting 6 blocks a game. And that's when he's at his best, when he's able to fulfill that role. So, like, when Bron was humming and he was able to play that secondary role and just defense and rebound and be big, he shines.
Yeah.
In that 1A role, I think, it's just not what he wants to do. I think he probably would tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really, you know, he doesn't even want to play the five. So,
no.
So So I wasn't too worried about a revenge game. I think it was interesting that he came back for that game. I'm like,
it felt a little rushed, huh?
Yeah, you're so hurt.
To me, it felt a little
you're
rushed.
So hurt. You want to come back against the Lakers? Like,
yeah,
you're so hurt though. You know, but
yeah.
Yeah. So we're gonna go. To half, that was quarter two. Back from half, Four Quarters Podcast. What's going on? We got B-Ray here and
Blue Mags, baby. What's happening?
I want to talk about this guy. I've been, like, really studying his game the last few weeks. He's been a pleasant surprise over there in Charlotte. Khan Knupple. He's a runaway right now with Rookie of the Year. Well, maybe not. He was runaway until Flag, I think, kind of reemerged, but in VJ toned down. But he's the number one Rookie of the Year candidate right now, Khan Knupple. I had his high coming out. I thought he would be JJ Redick-ish.
Okay.
He's a little bigger, so that helps. Like, when you have positional size in the NBA, like, that will, you know, being a 6'2" point guard versus being a 6'8" right, is going to obviously help you. But he's a real pleasant surprise. Can shoot that rock, can put it on the floor a little bit, and, like, just very steady, smart, doesn't make a lot of mistakes. As a rookie too, and he's a freshman at Duke. That's what's kind of, like, when you look at him, he kind of gives you, like, oh, maybe he was at Duke for 3 years. Like, no, he's a freshman. I mean,
he was a one and done.
Yeah, he was a one and done. Yeah, it's crazy. Man.
Yeah, I didn't really get to see him a lot at Duke, honestly. I didn't watch too much of them in college.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's coming to the league and just like set it on fire, really.
Yeah.
Averaging 18 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists.
Wow.
41% from 3.
Wow.
Very efficient. Almost 90% from the free throw line.
Really?
Yeah. So 89.8.
What's his field goal overall?
He's at 46.5.
So he's flirting with 50.
He's flirting.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, as a rookie, he's crazy. Yeah,
that's crazy. And I'm going to tell you what's really impressive. A rookie and you're on a bad team where it's like you're the scouting report. You're like, yeah. So teams know, like, hey, don't leave Con Canupo open. Like, don't let him get to his strong hand on the pull-ups. Like, and he's lighting teams up. Looks really good. I wanted to get to some nicknames. I think last season, Jacob, we would talk about nicknames and how they need to come back. So let's see if we could give Con Canupo a nickname. I was thinking of a couple. Let's see if they can stick. I got two. The Con Man and the Con Artist. And the reason why I think they fit is because he's so unassuming.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you would have said this guy's leading the Rookie of the Year race out of like DJ Edgecombe, Cooper Flagg, this guy, that guy, like he probably wouldn't be like top of mind. And he's so unassuming, but he'll just bust your ass and give you 20.
Yeah.
He's kind of a con man in that regard. He's a con artist.
Con man. Okay.
Yeah, he's a con artist. Like,
I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that. I don't even know if I can top that. I can't even think of one off the top of my head. Con Canupo.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I ain't got
nothing. I think that's it. I think that's it. He's the con man. Like, you know, he shows up and he just gives you 20, and you're like, damn, I didn't know he was going to do that. Like,
right? Yeah, just walks in, walks out. You know, no blood, just comes in, does his work. And,
right.
He's hooping right now.
The crazy part about it, too, he's got like 4 or 5 brothers, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Also hoopers?
Yeah, they're all coming up. So.
Damn.
Yeah.
I'm seeing that he's on Basketball Reference. His uncle is Jeff Nordgaard.
Okay.
Don't know who he is.
Okay, I was about to say.
So. No disrespect to Uncle Jeff.
Yeah.
Played for Milwaukee.
He also has an uncle.
1997.
He has an uncle that was reffing the
Big game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if it's the same guy.
That's what I'm saying. The con man. Like, it's y'all got stuff going on. Like, it's, you know, they y'all real sports royalty. Like,
yeah.
You know, on the low.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I just wanted to show him some love. He's been hooping. Love his game a lot. Always love the shooters. But that's Cooper Flagg's Duke teammate. But let's slide to the bad side of Charlotte. Mm-hmm. Obviously not a good team. And they may be having to look to reset with LaMelo Ball, especially now because you have a stud rookie in Con Canupo. Can they hit the reset button? What do you see? LaMelo out of there, you like anywhere for him? Do you think they need to trade him? Or should they just try to rough it out with LaMelo and say, hey, when this guy's right, he's 27-8, you know?
Yeah. I think they move him.
Yeah.
Try to get like a true leader on the team. I don't know. LaMelo, he's not going to do it with his words or his rah-rahness of, you know, leading a huddle or anything like that.
Yeah.
He does it more with, like, his play.
Yeah.
I don't see why not. He's, like, the biggest asset you have on the team. He's probably the person you could get the most for.
Yeah.
I don't see why not. Like you said, you got this rookie that's balling out and seems like something you could build around.
Yeah.
Early on.
So definitely,
I don't see why not.
Probably you find your starting two guard for the next 10 years.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You like any landing spots for LaMelo? Anywhere kind of
for LaMelo? That's interesting. I'm looking around the league, see who.
I know we always bring him up. We talked about their fire sale, but getting some older vets in there, maybe the Kings.
Yeah,
LaMelo gets to go to his home state. Maybe you bring a DeMar DeRozan in to Charlotte. You know, hey, he's an adult. You know, you know, he's an adult. He's got a family. You know,
you know maybe, what I mean? Maybe even the Clippers. I can see him.
Oh, I mean, I know the Ball family wants that. I mean, they would love LA again.
Right.
There's no room for him on the Lakers. No. Unless you were doing something crazy like AR for LaMelo, but I don't think the Lakers would do that.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't do that.
He doesn't fit the Mark Walter umbrella. what the Dodger money's looking for. But Sacramento's interesting. Clippers are interesting too. I do like that.
Yeah.
Who would you get back from the Clippers is interesting.
Similar to DeMar, he's got a bunch of you got a bunch of vets on that team, whether it's James, Kawhi. I mean, I don't know, bro. That team is so like screwed. It's like what do you do with that roster?
And we'll get to that draft pick situation. Which will be going to OKC. But yeah, that Kawhi thing just set them back so far. Like,
yeah,
it's bad. It's Kawhi or bust. You got to make this thing work around Kawhi somehow, some way. Move the parts around Kawhi until you kind of get it right. That Norman Powell decision just looks worse every day too. Because it's like, man, that was a silver lining of like a young guy that's like, he's not making, you know, $50 million. Like,
no,
you know, you probably could have bought him back for somewhere in that 20 per range or something, you know? It just seems like just, this thing is just unraveling really.
It's bad. Yeah. I mean, and they did it before, to a worse extent for sure. Back in when they traded away Shea.
Yeah. That was to get PG. Yeah.
Right. So, look where that and you know, where that took the Clippers. But, when they traded away Shea, they got back PG, you know, hurt, wasn't working. Playoff P became it was a bad nickname, you know, like we're making fun of you. It wasn't giving you kudos in the playoffs.
And for this game, we're not going to overtime. No. Off the side of the backboard.
That was with the Clippers too, right? That's a bad shot.
Oh yeah, yeah. The walk off.
The Lillard.
That might have been Thunder. That was Thunder.
Ah, yeah, and yeah. Probably
Damian walked off Russ and the MPG and them.
I don't know. It's just that organization, man. It's tainted. It's
they gotta go to San Diego or Seattle. I think that's truly the only way that they can like just
build an identity for themselves.
Yeah, just give themselves a chance. Give themselves a real chance, unadulterated freedom. Let the hair down. You know what I mean? Like they just need that. Like, and San Diego's a great city. You know, like it's a beautiful city. That's your origins are there. I think that their G League team is still based out of there. Man. I mean,
go baseball team's a fraud, but you know, that's a whole different conversation.
Yeah, it's a fraud, but they have success. You know,
they're packing out Petco. Those fans are passionate. So
that'll be a nice little wagon to hitch to if you're the Clippers, but they've got $10 billion real estate in Inglewood, so I don't think they'll be going leaving LA no time soon. So
nah, but I can see LaMelo on that team. I can see him on that spot.
I can see it.
Whether they trade away Chris Dunn or
you would have to package up.
It'll be a couple.
Yeah, because I don't think Harden. I mean Harden and Charlotte, he won't play. I mean seen Harden and Charlotte, he ain't gonna play. He gonna sit. Kawhi's not going anywhere. Yeah, you have to do some like Bogdanovic, Chris Dunn. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe a John Collins.
Yeah.
I think you got to keep Zoo. You got to keep James. Yeah. Keep Kawhi.
Yeah.
And then everyone else kind of expendable.
Yeah, I agree.
And CP3, he's not. Yeah. I mean, hey, actually, be kind of, you know, back to the Hornets. Yeah.
Kind of. I think that's fun for Clippers the career Kings. Arc. Clippers Kings, I like that. I mean, the Ball family would be thrilled to be back in Cali. So, 100%. With LaMelo at least. Next, we are going to get into the Warriors. What's the score of that Thunder game?
Ooh, not looking good for the Warriors. Chet Holmgren, he missed the three. But they're up. OKC is up 69-49.
20-piece, getting 20-piece.
What's up with this, like, 2K stuff? Like, they got the names over the head and yeah, all that on the Peacock. Is that, like, can I turn that off? Like,
they might give you a separate broadcast, I think.
It's a little distracting.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
I like what they were trying to do with it. Like, the arc is following the basketball, and once the ball goes in, it's green. Like, okay.
I think it plays better on, like, playback. Like, if you're when you're walking the fans through the game and stuff, like, I think it's a little better that way. Live, it's a lot.
A little over, exactly. A little overstimulating. If I want to see all that, I'd be playing 2K.
Right. But, right.
But yeah, they're down. They're getting 20 balled right now by OKC, not surprised. They're steamrolling.
Going for win 21.
Yep. Win 21. A little bit of unraveling. Like, Steph Curry's out. So obviously, that's a big factor in all of it. They're sitting in the middle of the Pacific right now, 11-10, looking like they're about to get to 11-11. Flirting with 500. Where do you see this team going for the next, I guess, quarter of the season?
When we started this four quarters pod season, my biggest caveat with the Warriors is health. I mean, they had to navigate the health through the year. To be a team that you don't want to see in May and June. Like, you take records out of it and they're able just to have their healthy roster in May and June, you don't want to see them. But you have to get to that point, and Steph can't be missing, you know, a game here, two games here, three games here. And he's missed a couple stretches now. And he is, as Steve Kerr called it, the Tim Duncan of the Warriors, historically. Like, that's their Tim Duncan. Everything pivots through Steph. Their whole playbook is centered around Steph to a degree, their whole style of play. So without him losing this ground, we talked about it with some of the other Western teams, just losing ground early can be very, very hard to overcome. So they're not, as I said, they're not winning the health battle right now. And it's not going to afford them a spot in May. And that's the only thing that they need to battle, was this health thing. Because I think Jimmy, Steph, Draymond, you know, I like that nucleus. They're smart, tough. They've done it at high levels. So I like it on paper, the nucleus, but if they're not available, then it won't matter, and they haven't been. So trade wise, like, you hear the rumblings too, like Jimmy and Draymond kind of like verbal sparring a little bit. Like, who are they talking about? Are you talking about each other? Y'all talking about Kuminga? Is the vibes are just very, like, strange.
A little off.
Yeah.
And you're not used to seeing that with the Warriors, because they were always just, like, I mean, kind of one of the hallmarks and, just one of their, like, big factors of those playoff runs and those deep championship runs were they were just such a team together. And you hear it all the time, whether it's football, baseball, basketball. The teams that are winning, they get along on and off the court, similar like what we were talking about with OKC earlier. Mm-hmm. Those guys look like they genuinely just look like each other. They're like hooping with each other. They're like hanging out with each other outside of, playing ball. Yeah. And that team is not – I don't know if it's like egos or what, but that team is definitely not gelling the way that they should be, especially with all these – with the injuries that they're having just them not – it's leading to them not playing well.
It's like, I'm trying to say. Draymond has this thing with, like, it feels like he gets territorial every time, like, a new roster move comes in. It's like, you know, hey, you know, this is how we do things here, that type of thing. And it's like, but to a degree, it's like, Draymond, you're not a level of a player, like physically, you're not that type of player to, like you can't go get 30. So it's like, bro, like, relax a little bit. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, let Jimmy find his way. This happens a few times to us on Four Quarters Pod. As we talk about these teams and these situations, I start thinking, right?
Okay.
We'll start turning.
The mind is going.
Yeah. That's not good all the time. I'm playing. but LaMelo.
Ooh.
If there's a Jimmy Butler thing going on, hey Jimmy, you want to go to Charlotte with Khan, and you love being the this fear in the coffee. And showing, hey, put me with Team B, and I'm going to beat Team A.
I'll bust all you guys' ass in practice. Yeah, 100%.
You think you guys know what you're doing here in Charlotte? Like, so that's interesting. And then Warriors kind of get to rehash that draft where they pass.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Shit falls right out of my mouth.
When my mind gets, you know what I mean? Shit start happening.
Hearts flying. Yeah, took the words right out of my mouth. That draft, it was flirting ideas of putting LaMelo on that team and seeing what that team would be like. And
yeah.
I don't know, maybe now's the time to see what that team would be like.
Because
it's clearly not working out the way that they want it to this season.
You talk about a Steph LaMelo backcourt. You'd have Draymond. I kind of like that. Like you're not super healthy right now anyway. I mean, so bring LaMelo in. You know, see if he can get healthy.
Yeah.
You know, it maybe if they were like 10-17 instead of like 10-10 right now.
Yeah.
They'll be closer to that, thinking that. But that's maybe something both teams want to like visit that. Charlotte, like I said, Charlotte can get there. We talked about what they need. You said it, like a vet, an adult.
Mm-hmm.
Not too many more rough edged vets than Jimmy Butler in the league.
Right, 100%.
Yeah,
Mike Dunleavy, get on the phone.
Yeah, I think he might have been a Jordan guy at a time too.
Who,
Jimmy Butler? Yeah,
yeah. Oh, Jimmy. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he was a Jordan brand guy at a time. Got MJ still kind of rooted there, so.
Yep.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think that'd be a good landing spot for LaMelo. Cali too. It's crazy how all the Cali teams are just kind of make sense for LaMelo.
LaVar was right.
Yeah, man, LaVar, you're like, my boys in Cali. Everything's gonna be all right.
Yeah, get him on the same team. Get him running and gunning. He's still petitioning for Jello to get in the league.
So. Yeah. I mean, I wish he could have got a look. It would have been fun to see him. I think he did get some like G League looks.
Oh, 100%.
Funny how that stuff works. I mean, would have been cool to see them all. And who knows, maybe we can get to see that one day. At least Lonzo and LaMelo on the same team one day.
That'd be cool. See him running around like it's Chino Hills.
Yeah.
So you got Chino Hills 2016 or 2022 Mount Bird?
Well, I'm going with the brothers.
Not Kate and them. Is it 2022? I can't remember what year the Mount Bird team was, but
I think it's 2020.
2020 Mount Bird, yeah.
Yeah.
Mount Bird. That's Kate and them. Kate and
them. I'm going with the brother chemistry.
Yeah, those guys. And who else did they had? Was OG on that team too?
Okongwu.
Okongwu.
He's in Atlanta now.
Yeah.
So, kind of on the flip of that Warriors trade talk and like what they're doing, what they need to do. Giannis and the Milwaukee, they're struggling.
The Greek.
Is there something there? Giannis, do you see him out? He scrubbed his Twitter today.
Scrubbed the IG.
We all know what that
means. Talk online. That means he's coming to the Lakers, baby. Let's go.
Yeah.
kind of joking, kind of serious. But I mean, we're getting everybody, man. Like you can't tell me any different. The tweet always pops up on my feed every now and then where it's someone replying back to the tweet saying, you know, Lakers have interest in Luka Doncic, and all the replies are saying like, oh yeah, and I have interest in, you know,
a Bugatti. Rihanna.
Yeah, I got interest in buying a new Bugatti.
Yeah.
And look where we are now. So, I mean, it's not crazy to say, you know, Giannis to the Lakers. It's
never crazy. But,
never. And then also, too, kind of, I feel like he feeds into it, too, a little bit. And maybe it's a negotiation tactic or, like, some sort of tactic with front office to be like, hey, look, I'm serious. Like, let's make some roster moves or I'm out. Because the Twitter one is crazy because he scrubbed everything up until he wished Kobe happy birthday. And it's like, okay.
A Laker jersey. Like the only thing on your Twitter page is a Laker jersey. Like,
is a Laker. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And obviously there's the lore there too with Kobe.
Yeah.
Writing the, go win MVP.
Right. That's my challenge to you.
Yeah, that's my challenge to you.
Yeah.
And then the Instagram, interesting. Probably a little better for if I'm a Bucks fan, like feeling that he wants to stay because he scrubbed everything except for the championship,
the cup,
and the cup,
the NBA.
So if I'm, right. So if I'm a Bucks fan, I'm holding on to that, being like, see, he wants to be here. He wants to be here.
Well, I think in a perfect world, like if the Bucks could wave a magic wand and have a contending team right now, he'd stay. Like, yeah, but they're 5-15, I think.
Yeah, what is their record right now?
No matter what conference you're in, that's gonna be hard to climb out.
Yeah, 9-13, 11 in the East.
Yeah, there's a push they could make, but they're not playing great ball. No. On the Laker front, I think there is actually a path that we can.
Giannis on the Laker?
Yeah, without even giving up AR.
Wow.
Which would be crazy.
What about Luka?
What you mean?
Without giving up Luka either, right?
Oh, of course.
Oh, okay, I was about to say. I was like, all right.
Security! What's wrong with this guy?
Someone get this man.
No, I mean, so first, we've seen this all the time in sports, mainly the NBA. Mm-hmm. If Giannis comes down, puts his foot down and says, if anybody but the Lakers trades for me, I'm mad. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to sit out. You guys don't want to trade for me. I'm going to be disgruntled.
Yeah.
If he puts the Lakers as that cream of the crop of his target list, the Lakers could shrink that price and say, hey, Dalton Connect, Gabe, Vando in a first don't sound bad. Do it. Get to reset this thing.
Throw LeBron in there too. Might as well.
Oh damn, we getting rid of LeBron
in there too. I didn't like this clip's going around on.
I know
on
you're Twitter. Talking about yeah.
The Suns on JJ. I didn't like that one, man. Yeah. And LeBron, he.
Yeah.
It's the LeBron experience, right? You know, it's
let's talk about it.
Yeah, it's we're friends of everyone in the league. Yeah, you know, yeah, it's yeah. And it's me growing up a Kobe fan. You growing up a Kobe fan, like
yeah.
Kobe ran through the chest of Pau Gasol, guy he won championships with.
Yeah,
and this ultimate competitor like would never be caught doing that shit. Like,
Where JJ was yelling at him, Yeah, he's like, Bron, you know, I had to call a timeout.
Come on, man. And even after he called timeout, like, Bron still didn't, like,
come
back to the Laker huddle. He was chilling with the Suns for, like, I don't know, 10 seconds or something. But I don't know. It's a little stint, but I just don't like it. I don't like the optics of it. I just don't like how he feels that he could do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
And, it rubs me the wrong way a little bit.
I hear you. It's fair. Totally fair, too. Like,
yeah.
I mean, when you talk about a team structure, If I could go optimism with it,
yeah.
I think Bron plays these chess games a little bit.
Okay.
He tries to do these things. I think he's trying to prepare the Lakers for, like, this long stretch. Bron teams always have this. There's always, like, this little, like, drama, like, oh, Bron mad. Oh,
the LeBron experience.
Yeah. LeBron experience. Like, oh, Bron mad. Oh, Bron, you know, he don't like this player, that player. But then Bron will be like, that's my brother. Like, I knew he was nice. Like I yell at him because that's my brother. Like,
yeah.
There's always that little thing, and he's always navigated it. I'm gonna go optimistic.
Yeah.
I think he's just like kind of just tanning the Lakers, sharpening our blade a little bit, just getting us thick mad, getting us thinking, getting us I think that's what that was. Him and JJ are so like close.
They're locked in.
Yeah, they're closer than probably most coach players.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, LeBron pretty much really interviewed him for an NBA coaching job.
Yeah, 100%.
So I think they're kind of tethered in that kind of mindset. He can kind of go back after the game and say, "Oh, I heard you, but I'm trying to I'm trying to make sure these guys locked in." You know, like
right.
You know, it's like you know when your teacher makes a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, that didn't happen. And they're like, oh, no, you're good. I gave you the wrong answer.
I was trying to make sure you guys are.
Yeah.
Teachers, the answer is actually 5.
You're right. It's like, good.
Yeah, no, you're actually right. Yeah.
Good. We'll see. We'll follow it, how that goes. But that was, I do agree with you, though. That was very, very interesting. Especially against like a guy like D. Brooks, he's going at you like
yeah exactly yeah. Like that's part of it for me too. And we're down 20, so like just the whole mix of it all. But I don't want to talk again too much about the Lakers as we kind of devolve into Laker talk again. But with the Giannis thing, Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind it. I wouldn't. Yeah, to be going back to, I wouldn't mind throwing LeBron in there.
I mean, my mind's scintillating. Luka, AR, Bron. Well, Rui, we'll give you all Rui. Rui can go to Milwaukee. It'll probably, so Rui, Dalton, Gabe, and a first.
Yeah.
And but contingent on Giannis, like I said, kicking and screaming.
Yeah.
And saying Lakers are nothing. Kobe's my guy. I had a dream. Kobe's my guy. Like, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Contingent on that happening first. And then, like I said, Dalton, Rui, Gabe, Vando in the first. That ain't gonna sound too bad to Milwaukee.
No.
Y'all getting a starting five. Y'all getting a little 5-man unit, you know?
Yeah. And then we got Luka, AR, LaRavia will probably be there.
Who's
LaRavia?
That? LaRavia's still on the bench.
Jake at the three.
I gotta have some
people. Who'd you have in there?
My bench will be LaRavia.
Uh-huh.
Adu will have to step in more at the forward spot. Thierro had to play more. Kleber will have to get some more looks. Hayes is still on my bench. And then I'm probably calling up Drew Timmy. I'm going to make him a full-time
Drew
player.
Timmy. Yeah, who are you starting then in that three or four spot?
I'm going to go Luka, AR,
uh-huh.
Bron, Giannis, Ayton. Yeah, you can't tell me that don't work. You can't tell me that don't work. Like,
it's cold.
You know what I mean?
Pick the Monstars.
Giannis can set the pick and roll. Like, he can handle.
Yeah.
He could be at the top with getting screens from Ayton and shit, going downhill.
That'd be crazy.
Yeah.
There's only one ball. Yeah, but we got. Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah.
I don't care if you got all those guys on the court.
And one thing that I've always loved about Giannis as a superstar player. Is very unique. He doesn't need plays.
Mm-mm.
I've seen him go get 35 and 15 with no plays. It's just putbacks and dunker spot and lobs and coast to coast. And I got to the line 16 times and hit 9 of them. Like,
yeah.
It's interesting. I think there's a path.
There's a path.
I think there's a path.
What's going on in Utah?
Yeah. I think there's a path where we don't have to give up AR. We don't have to give up too much. But Giannis will have to initiate it and, like I said, kind of kick up dust on his way out. Which starting, just dust particles are being kicked up in Milwaukee.
Oh, yeah. He for sure started it. He's starting the tantrum.
Yeah.
Started the whirlwind on social media.
Yeah.
As he knows it was going to happen the minute he scrubs his stuff, you know. There's no way that it's just not going to get picked up.
You tell a social media guy, like, yeah, scrub everything. Scrub, delete everything except Laker and
Kobe photo. Yeah. Except Kobe picture.
So, yeah, that's interesting. Apart from that, yeah, I think the Warriors, that's an interesting pitch for them, too. If they want to, try to shake things up, getting Jimmy back from Golden State ain't bad for Milwaukee. That ain't a bad get, you know, if you're losing something that big. Trying to think of some other teams, like, maybe Toronto is interesting. He's got an international flavor for Giannis.
Yeah,
they're having one of their best seasons in years. That could be fun. That could be kind of interesting. But no, I think there's a path for the Lakers. I wouldn't. Okay. And look, Mark Walters
out, baby.
Yeah, Mark Walters involved. Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts, Shohei.
Let's go plant some trees for Giannis.
Yeah, you know what I mean. You know what I mean. So. Now I want to move into coach of the year. You got any quick coach of the year candidates?
Quick coach of the year. I mean, let's see.
I know I got mine. And I think firmly in the lead, I'm going to go J.B. Bickerstaff.
Yeah.
Whose dad was the interim coach of the Lakers back in the day.
Bernie
Bickerstaff, yeah. But yeah, J.B.
You got the Pistons humming right now.
Yeah. And right or wrong, I think – what your team has done or not done in the past, and then you're able to kind of like build on that and make them better.
Mm-hmm.
That gets baked into coach of the year a little bit. It's almost like it's almost like most improved team award sometimes.
Yeah. You know? 100%.
And that goes to the coach sometimes.
Let's see. Who would I give coach of the year to? Give me Ime.
In Houston?
Yeah.
Okay.
Give me Udoka.
KD's missing time.
Yeah. And yeah. Just like, I don't know, just making a new team gel like that pretty quickly.
Yeah. Still missing Dorian Finney.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, I think what they're doing over there is pretty is real impressive. Yeah, it's not easy to bring in a superstar like that and just, you know, plug and play. Yeah. There's always some sort of gelling period. Yeah. But they just, you know, they hit the ground running. Third in the West right now. And yeah, that's who I would probably give my early coach of the year to.
I do like Gimei a lot. He gives me the vibe of his teams that, like, you could roll him out there with 10 fifth graders and they're going to be tough. Like, it's going to be a tough team. Like, yeah, if you're not tough and, like, don't play with heart, you can't really play for him. Like, he
– Yeah.
Yeah, so I like that. All right, that's the end of quarter three, going to the fourth quarter. Four quarters pod back in the fourth, winning time, as we like to call it here.
Yes, sir.
We wanted to switch gears a little bit and talk about the big news that rocked the college football world, the sports world. Lane Kiffin leaving Ole Miss at the altar before the playoff and going to LSU. What do you think, Mags? What do you think?
Oh, man, you can't make a hoe into a housewife.
Damn! You going to have a face? You just told me.
Sorry, Mom, if you're listening to this. But, yeah. I mean, famously said by the Ole Miss – I think the guy's like – he obviously is like a beat reporter for Ole Miss, but he has a podcast, or I don't know if he has a podcast or was on a podcast, but famously said that line, and it got to Lane. Obviously, you have the moment of him addressing that reporter after the Egg Bowl game against Mississippi State, saying, you know, had some choice words for the reporter.
Yeah.
Addressing that comment he made about Lane. And I mean, at the end of the day, like, what the guy said was true. He ended up leaving him for LSU. But, you know, it's not surprising, right? Like, yeah. He did the same thing to Tennessee when he left Tennessee to go to USC.
Right.
That's just kind of what he does. He
parlays one position to – I guess my biggest thing with Lane is, like, what's your end game? Is it the Bama job? Because to me, like, even – and we talked about this with our producer, Jake, like,
mm-hmm.
The paradigm and the hierarchy of college football to me has kind of, like, shifted around a little bit. I'm not even sure if Kalen DeBoer's Bama is Nick Saban's Bama. You know what I mean? Like, so is that really the job that you're, like, you're waiting on Bama? Or is it another NFL – only thing that really could be – where you want to go up is NFL, another NFL gig.
I think that's what it will be.
Okay.
His end game will be NFL. I think LSU will be the cream of the crop.
Yeah.
For him. Yeah. SEC. And I think Alabama would be like more of a lateral move than this Ole Miss.
At this rate.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Now, if you're the first guy to like to succeed Nick Saban, like when Kalen DeBoer did it, it was a big deal. But even like some of that smoke has cooled off because, you know, they're not the juggernaut they were when Nick was there.
No.
You know.
And they can quickly kind of fade back into what they used to be before they kind of came to prominence under Nick Saban.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think this is it for him. I think it's LSU
and NFL.
You know, ride it out until, you know, he's bored of college football or something, and then
Raiders Pete Carroll or
do the Pete Carroll
Giants. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do the Pete Carroll thing. Go to the Raiders.
Yeah.
Go to whoever wants to pay him. Honestly, yeah.
Lane's funny. The Raider before, like,
yeah. No, yeah. He was there. He was there before. I think before Tennessee, right? I think he was there before Tennessee.
Yeah.
But he's funny, man. I was watching the press conference of him at LSU doing his first press conference, and he's talking about. He's like, it didn't come down to the money. He's like, I didn't even know what the contract was.
He said he didn't know what the contract was.
Come on, man. He's like, all I cared about was the NIL money for the kids.
Yeah, salary cap.
I'm like, all right, hey, get the recruiting clips out there. You know, I care about the players and all that. But
Which he's probably like, he's telling like half truths because right. like
he's not lying.
Yeah, I'm sure he knows like he doesn't. He might not know like the exact cents in dollars, but he knows he's in the ballpark of the top yeah. college money. You know,
yeah, 100%.
You know what they gave Brian Kelly?
Yeah, yeah. You
know, or what they paid him to leave. So
right.
But there's no way you agree to something and ain't seen no numbers. Come on,
nah,
bro.
Come on, man. Like it's funny. But yeah. But yeah, I mean LSU, they that was the thing about them, right? Like the NIL, and like we're in this NIL world now, and
yeah,
it's all about how much money you can commit to a roster.
Yeah,
and you know you're fighting for the top guys, and LSU has a history of putting guys in the league. Yeah, I don't see why anyone would not want to go there, and to this like I don't know this whole thing it makes hiring coaches so hard with the academic schedule, mm-hmm. just the college football schedule in general.
Yeah,
because you gotta commit to a team before because this week was National Signing Week. Today I think it was actually today. Today was National Signing Day. Shout out to our Trojans, number one recruiting class by ESPN.
So oh,
shout
wow.
out to USC. Yeah, so Lincoln, come on, baby, we got number one it's class.
You're gonna get the fence back up in California.
Yeah, yeah.
Too many Cali kids have been leaving. Like,
yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, this like just the academic calendar and the college football calendar in general kind of makes these situations worse.
To that point, because I just thought you just made me think of this. So it's really the high school recruiting cycle that mm-hmm. tightens this up, not necessarily the college season.
No. Yeah, it's because, not necessarily the college season. No, it's high school recruiting, and it's also the transfer portal.
Got it.
Yeah,
they got to fix this somehow. Like,
I don't know how it's gonna do because
got OCs, you got OCs and DCs leaving right now. Like,
yeah, I mean the Oregon guys, both of them, they're going both to Kentucky. Leaving for Kentucky, and the other guy's going to. Can't remember where the D coordinator is going to, but the O coordinator is going to Kentucky.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then the academic calendar too, like. You know, say Lane keeps this under wraps, right? And he yeah. waits till after the college football playoff to announce mm-hmm. he's going to go to LSU. Mm-hmm. That's not till, what, February?
Yeah.
And now these recruits in the transfer portal wise, like these guys can't transfer in and sign up for classes, right? Like at the end of the day, they're student athletes. They have to be like in
the class. I mean, that's the most important thing, right?
Yeah, right.
I mean. Damn the football, damn the teams. If I can't get in and pick the classes that I want,
come on.
I heard Professor Johnson for econ. That's who I want, damn it.
Oh, yeah. I went and rate my professor, and he had the easiest, you know, he had the yeah. best ratings. He had the easiest
class. If I can't get that econ class that I want, I'm not going.
But yeah, no, it's like we're joking, but it's like it's true. Like these, yeah. they can't sign up for classes. Yeah. It's all messed up. It's all yeah. messed up. And then again, on the recruiting side for high school football, like you have to commit before today. You have to know who your coach is going to be. You know what I mean? Like Lane has to make that decision known before today happens. Because if not, he's yeah. not going to get the recruits that he wants. You know, the transfer portal opens up, I believe, in January, yeah. Which still where the college football playoff is happening. So,
yeah,
it's just tough. The schedule kind of screws it over for Lane, and it makes him look like the bad guy. Because, I mean, is there truth to him asking the AD if he could still coach? Probably, but
it's like, it's almost no.
Yeah, he knows he's going to say no. So it's yeah. like, it's almost like a, yeah. it's a chauvinistic type of thing yeah. to be like, oh, well, I did ask. And it's right. like, well, yeah. You know the answer wasn't going to be yes, so
right,
you know.
Right.
But yeah, it makes him look like the bad guy, which I mean, he probably don't care because he did it before, right?
Yeah.
that was probably pre NIL when he left.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pre NIL yeah. when he did it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Side note, I don't want to get too much into this, right?
Okay.
But side note, I'm gonna just say this, man. Guys, let's not be naive. You know, it's hard to leave some of these jobs, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to leave some of these jobs because it's a fresh crop coming in every year.
Yeah.
And I'm not just talking about the roster. I'm not I'm not just talking about the roster on the field, but we got to talk about these things.
Yeah, like, Urban.
Even going to Dan Hurley and the Lakers. Like,
yeah.
But to his defense, it's hard. You got a kingdom over there when you're in college.
You're the man.
You got a kingdom, man. You're getting a fresh man. And, man, let me be quiet because I'm going to say but all I'm going to say is – all I'm going to say is Chipotle is a lot cheaper than Mastro's. That's all I'm going to say, man. Don't be naive. It's hard for some of them guys to lead them college jobs, man. Like,
yeah, they're literally kings. It probably killed Saban to leave Bama.
Oh, man.
To retire
or even some of the guys that make that leap from college to pros. Like, you see it's always like a big thing. Like, oh, man, like, damn. Because it comes with a whole different bag of stuff.
I'm thinking like Chip Kelly. You know, Pete. He was basically like forced out of there with the scandal and all of the sanctions that happened with USC because of the Reggie Bush stuff. But
some guys go back. I mean, you saw Nick went back. Nick went to pros and then back to college. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and stayed there.
Yeah. Was Bill a college to pros back to college guy?
No, Bill was
always a pros, right? He was with the Browns
Bill pros to college.
But
even, I mean, if you think I'm crazy, look at Bill Belichick. That's all I'm gonna say. If you think I'm crazy, and you think Lane Kiffin and these guys ain't, you know what I mean, ain't running their kingdom, like, look at Bill Belichick. That's all I'm gonna say. So I just want to touch on that. Like, don't be naive, fellas.
Got a point.
Don't be naive. Chick-fil-A is a lot cheaper than Craig's.
the payway on university.
Yeah, that meal card a lot easier to fill up.
The cat card. I still got my cat card.
That cat cash. Yeah. You can fill that cat cash up real easy.
You're a fool.
You said for the month, babe.
Oh yeah.
we are gonna go. I just wanted to touch real quick.
Yep.
On that Giannis tip, the Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
Keep an eye on them too. As he trades and he's stuck to pick up because they own the Clippers pick, which is going to grant them a really nice pick, and they can move some stuff around and really have some fun with their roster too. What they're doing, they got a lot in the cachet.
100%.
All right, so that is going to take us to the end of quarter four.
Yeah,
we're gonna go a little overtime and play a little
overtime today, baby.
Yeah, we're gonna play some old. We got some OT.
We're going to play some, what is it called? We got Jump Shot.
Guess that jumper.
And we're going to be joined by our producer, Jacob Hazard.
Here on the Four Quarters Pod. Oh, my God. Nigga called it. Oh, my God.
Ooh. All right. What up, y'all? We're back with another episode of Jump Shot. So we're going to try to guess this player's jump shot. All we got is the silhouette to guess. As we guess, it's going to give us little hints on, close, whether it's the division, the team, this guy's age. Without further ado, let's get into it.
First of all, he's getting it off a crazy catch. Like,
it's a crazy catch. It kind of looks like Chris.
Ooh, can I guess?
Yeah.
Paul George,
let's see. Is this off? High
release.
Is this off the side of the backboard, Paul George?
It might have been that one.
Ooh, okay.
Okay.
So number 8 is close to that person's jersey number.
Jersey number.
They're in the East, but they're not in the Atlantic
Division.
They're not American.
Interesting.
Bogdan. We got he's a shooting guard in the East.
Yeah, some more.
Give some.
At least a kind of country.
Shooting guard.
Or a foreigner.
A foreigner.
In the East.
A foreigner in the East.
Damn.
That's an ugly jumper.
Yeah, it's like high.
Almost looks like the hand goes out to the right, too.
A shooting guard in the East. That's a foreigner. Damn. Um, This is tough.
Did you try to pin down the team? So it's not in the East Atlantic. Let's see. Who's on the like the Magic
Hawks,
or
Hawks got some international guys.
Yeah, or the Hawks.
I don't think it's. Yeah, the Nets got a lot of international players.
And that kind of like MPJ, but he's American.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
It's a two guard too. I feel like a lot of, because most of the Euros are like forwards and shit. I feel like. But,
yeah.
Okay.
What about VJ? VJ Edgecombe.
Yeah,
he's Canadian, right?
Yeah. Bahamian.
Oh, he's from Bahamas.
Yeah.
Oh, they're Atlantic. Fuck, I'm tripping.
Oh. It's late, chat. It's late.
It's late. It's 10. It's past 10.
And remember that number, right? The number is going to be around 8.
Around 8. Let's see what.
7, 6 or 7.
Yellow and jersey title matches the 10th place. So.
Mm.
So, yeah, single digit.
Single digit. 1 through 9. In the East, a two guard in the East. With a high ass like that. Try this guy. Krejci from Atlanta. Vit Krejci.
Okay, we're on the Hawks. We're on the right team.
Okay. Okay. He's not Republican.
He's within 2 years.
He's on the Hawks.
On the Hawks.
A two guard.
Two guard on the Hawks.
Not without Trey.
No, not without Trey at all. That is, right. Yeah. We got over there.
Okay. He's
on Clippers now.
Yeah. It's not, because Richard Shea's not a two.
Could. Nah, he's a forward.
Yeah, he's not a two.
Also, what number is he? It should be a single digit. Dyson Daniels. That's a good pull.
Yeah.
Dyson.
I don't know what number he wears.
Oh, number 5. Okay. Are we sure we're not? Yeah, we're not in the U.S. What country is the player born in? Let me make sure on the country. I didn't even say nothing about the country.
Born? I think so,
yeah.
Blue guy. Having the country not be USA, just, I mean, there's so many fucking countries.
I know, right? Okay, where are we at?
Yep. That's
Nikki
it.
Kale. Bang.
Yep. That jump, yep. How he had, yep. That little elbow, how he, yep. Mm-hmm. Great call.
Down 20.
Great call. Yeah.
Yeah.
They paid him to leave Mini. Yeah, he
Jake, is it easier to stop it and then record again for the classic one? If we want to do the, keep running? All right, cool. For sure. All right, we're going to get this some classic. Oh, wait. That's a. No, isn't that a.
Who?
That's not Bynum. That's not my guy, Bynum.
No, put it in.
Remember when he held it? When he held it?
Oh, the three? Oh, that could
be. Oh, that would have been crazy.
The remember three that shit? The no, you're not even guessing a jump shot. You're guessing a moment. So that he came in after 05 and retired after 14. And it's in the West.
Yep. Retired of debate debut. Debuted, let's see.
Okay.
It was a match within the same decade.
I have a guess. Yellow's a match in the same decade?
Yep. So debuted in the 2000s.
Try Markieff Morris.
Markieff. Is he still playing though?
I think so.
Oh, he's not even on here.
Oh, this is a classic.
This is classic, yeah. So they're retired.
Okay. Okay. Retired.
It kind of looks like West.
It's in the West.
Bro, this is like, it kind of looks like something Draymond would do too, but this is, I mean, he's still playing, obviously.
Retired after 2014 and debuted after 2005.
Mm-hmm.
In the West.
Al Horford's still
playing. And look, and he's not, and he's not American either again.
Yeah. Another one.
What's going on?
Yeah.
And he's holding that shit. He's holding it like
this. No. I'm thinking of you never know what you're gonna get. What's
up? Peters.
Yeah. AK 47. All right, we got the Northwest.
So we're like Jazz,
and it's either a small forward or power forward. Oh, that's, man. No, wait. Is he American? No, he's American, though, huh?
He's American.
Damn.
But it's still – okay, so it's not Portland or Utah.
But he's a power forward center.
He's a power forward center.
It's not Portland or Utah. Debuted after 06, retired after 22. So retired recently.
Retired after 22.
In the last 3 years. Power forward center.
Oh, okay. Serge Ibaka.
Ah, yeah. That sounds about right. Yep, debuted 09, retired 23. I think you're on.
Give me Serge Ibaka.
Serge Ibaka. Dang.
Yeah, I like how he holds it after. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's that form you do when you just add your three ball.
Like, hold the follow through.
He was working on it. Yeah. He was working on it.
There's our coach right there.
Okay, right. A classic or let's go back current.
Go jump shot. Bang. And then this is the same guy, so we'll do. That was Mikhail, and then we'll do random player.
Yep.
Bang.
Oh. The pull up?
That kind of looks like Trey.
Yep.
Like Peyton Pritchard or like
Tyus
Jones. It does look like a Tyus Jones.
Let's try that.
USA.
He's American.
He's probably a point guard, shooting guard.
Okay.
He's in the West. Man. If this was classic, I would. It kind of looked like Jordan Farmar.
Yeah, it's definitely a guard. Definitely like a little guard type.
Mm-hmm.
Stepped into squared up.
Oh man, I can see it.
Ooh, okay.
But he's in the. Is he in the East, though?
He's on the Bucks now.
But this player's going to be in the West.
I like the little pull-up.
Man, I can like, picture this.
Yeah, for sure. And he's walking back already. He's good in the air. Like, who is
that's
it?
What I was thinking, too.
What'd you say?
Pods.
Podzimski? Let's try it.
This guy looks a little short, but... Oh, we're on the Warriors. Man. We're on the Warriors.
You're on the Warriors.
Oh, this is Peyton. No.
That's Moses Moody?
Moses. Oh. So this guy's an older cat.
Are we missing a number? Or like what do we know? What are we missing?
Is it it's his brother. It's the brother. Bang.
Just got back up.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Wow. That's wild.
That's literally nuts.
He got signed, cut, and then came back.
Bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got the Hornets.
Come on, Polo.
This website just hates the Lakers, too. Every damn clip.
Yeah. That's when guys be making shots.
Yeah.
That's when you can get a made shot.
Oh, my gosh. Do one more?
That's good. Do it.
Oh, we got a little. Oh, I know who this is.
That's Kawhi.
Yeah,
that's Kawhi. Leonard.
This was easy. Too easy. Too easy.
All right.
Bang. One and done. First take, Drake, baby.
There we go.
Yes, sir.
Let's go. Yeah.
All right, y'all. Should we want me to do a little quick sign out thing? All right. Thanks for tuning into the Four Quarters Pod. It's your boy Drew Maggs along with my co-host
B-Rip.
Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to share, like, subscribe, do all that fun stuff. And we'll see y'all next week.
Four Quarters Pod. Welcome to the Four Quarters Podcast. So you're not just watching from the sidelines, get in the game. Like the videos, comment your takes, share with your squad.
More importantly, subscribe to the Four Quarters Podcast on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TikTok, Instagram, and X for all the latest basketball and sports news.